You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702 Afternoons with Relebo Gile Mabotja.
17 minutes to 2 o'clock. Let us talk now about the history of pork and why it is banned in so many religions and cultural beliefs. And I'd like to hear from you. What is the reason that you've chosen to exclude pork from your diet? Are you doing it because the church told you to do so? Did you read something about pigs that made you feel like, spiritually, this is not aligning with me and my beliefs? Do you believe that maybe pork does something to your chakras? Whatever it is, and you could be Jewish, you could be Muslim, you could be Christian, it does not matter, but I want to just get that understanding as to where your mindset is around pork and what it represents and why you have cut it out of your diet. For this conversation, we are joined by Dr. Lerato Mokoena, who is lecturer at the University of Pretoria in the Department of Religious Studies, Old Testament and Hebrew Scriptures, to talk about the history of pork and why it is banned in certain religions. And of course, we take your calls on 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Doctor, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Doctor, let us go back to, you know, the olden days. What was the relationship between pigs and human beings from a spiritual / religious context?
Well, let me greet your listeners and greet you as well. Thank you for having me once again. And when we look at briefly the history of dietary laws that we have in most religions or denominations, we find that the history is much more, it's tied to issues of ecology, issues of health, more than it is actually religious. But then religion became the substantive idea that was able to be put in place to be able to give this idea a grand narrative.
Mm.
So what we find is that in most religions, when you look at the dietary laws, they were put in place because firstly, it became the most, the single most visible identifier of those that adhered to the faith, that they were able to abide by certain dietary laws.
Mm.
And so that would mean that there would be a separation between a Jew and a Gentile. And then also when you look at issues of health, generally a pig, it eats everything, as they say, or it's an animal that is generally not clean.
Mm.
So we find prohibitions of swine also related to that, to issues of health. I think also when you look at perhaps even when at that time, when you look at the primitive or early stages of development in terms of health and how they were able to treat certain diseases, I think it became much more prudent to rather tell people to abstain than to be able to treat the problem later at a much more costly price.
So I almost feel like even the term swine almost sounds like a swear word and an insult. I know people, you know, when they're upset with someone, they're like, yeah, Joe Swine, you know, and that kind of thing. So do you think that generally the people who have chosen to remove themselves from pork, because many people that I've just spoken to in my own life, their response is pigs are dirty. They eat anything, including their own fecal matter. But I'm still yet to meet a group of people who have taken the time to understand the history behind it and the why, mm-hmm. as opposed to just, well, I'm this religion, I'm Jewish, I'm Muslim, and the Bible says.
Yeah, that's true. There is a factor that we encounter where the idea is much more powerful. But especially when it's substantiated by religion, now it becomes even more powerful, because in that sense, that it means that there is an institution that endorses this idea. And when we look at even when it was conceptualized, there were instances where, when we look at the history of religions, especially in the Middle East, we find that because it was a simple, visible identifier of those who belong to a certain religion, you find that during times of war and conflict, there were people that were forced to eat it.
Mm.
And so to perhaps just to demonstrate or be dramatic about the fact of denouncing one's faith. But then you also find that it's not wholly forbidden in the sense that you cannot eat it. Because when you read the Quran, for instance, it says that, you know, you can consume it by necessity.
Mm.
If you are doing it not with the intention of transgressing and rebellion. So it is not an offense in that sense to consume it, because generally it says that Allah and peace be upon him is forgiving.
Mm.
So we find that there are instances where provision is made to say that we do understand that there are instances that you call for it, but if your intention remains that you are not transgressing deliberately or you are not doing it to become rebellious, then that provision can be allowed.
Mm.
So that's why I'm saying it's not only because it is an unhealthy animal. The idea was that it was an identifying marker for those that belonged to a certain sect of a certain religion. And so we find that even as time goes, it became a boundary even itself when we come to issues of conversion, because it meant that it became a barrier for those that wanted to convert because they didn't want to eat it or they wanted to eat it. So when this provision is made to say that on certain conditions we can make an exception, I think that is when we see these walls of othering and, you know, the muscles of monotheism relaxing a bit to say we are able to accommodate it on certain standards.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to touch very briefly on the health part. Are we speaking about it not being the healthiest of meats because of the high fat content? Or are we still again looking at the idea of when this thing is alive, it eats anything, when we refer to healthy or unhealthy?
I think the predominant idea there is that it's a scavengers animal that just goes and devours everything.
Yes.
I will not want to be precise about the actual health implications because I'm just a theologian. But in essence, I think there are so many other things that we indulge in that are not healthy.
Mm.
So I think when it comes to the issue of pork, it should never be divorced from the fact that it was tied in with a nationalistic agenda to create a nation with its own dietary laws.
Mm.
And that's what we find in this instance. It becomes a rite and ritual and practice of a religion. But generally, pork can be eaten. There are nationalities that even premise it before other animals would split hooves. That we read in the biblical canon that says that other animals are, you know, they're defiled. Others, but you find nationalities that are even Christian predominantly, but they premise and they categorize pork as gourmet. So it becomes tricky. But I think when we need some historical consciousness when it comes to how it is tied in with this idea of building into the bigger narrative or the grand narrative of this drama we call religion.
I hear you. Let's go to the lines. We have Lesego in Roodepoort. Hi, Lesego. How are you?
Hi, Lebohile. I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Yes, what are your thoughts?
No, so I just wanted to find out, I guess, from the doctor with regards to pork, because it's the one type of meat that when I have it, I want to say it triggers, in lack of a better way of explaining it, dugodu. Like, I get sick from actually having anything pork related.
Dugodu as in your tonsils?
Yes, it kind of triggers tonsillitis, so my whole ENT, and it's not just me, even my son, it's the same thing. So we don't eat pork at home because it triggers something from an ENT perspective, but I can't tell you why or what, but we just don't eat pork because of that.
Is it not an allergic reaction?
Probably, but I just want to find out, Hori, you know, it's the one type of meat, and why pork necessarily? Why not lamb? Why not anything else?
I got you. I got you. Doctor, have you heard of anything? Because my grandmother experienced exactly what Lesego is referring to, is that pork would not make her feel great. And we just assumed that probably means she's allergic to it.
I think that speaks also to the power of ideas. You might easily think, you know, because skip pork, I think the idea is already there, that skip pork. You might also experience similar reactions when you're eating steak, when you're eating lamb, but because it's pork, then the immediate reaction becomes is because ke fariki.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or, it feels like we're swearing on air, fariki swine.
You know, it sounds very vulgar, right?
Yes.
But you know, also, I think there's another aspect that we often miss when we speak about this, because when we speak of the biblical story and it's people, it's history, we're speaking of an agrarian society. So there were people that were relying heavily on livestock, and, you know, that most of their diets were plant-based. So because these pigs would go around devouring everything, it also became an issue of economical concern. I think also the demarcation of eating and not eating was also creating a class group. And it was also creating socioeconomic equals on the basis of what could be consumed. So that's why I'm saying that biblical texts are not social photographs.
Yes,
we should
yes.
be able to decipher the ideology behind those texts, because then they feed into other bigger narratives.
I've got you.
Exactly. Thank you.
All right, let's go to Rueda in Ondakers Park. Hi, Rueda. How are you?
I'm very well. And yourself?
Good, good. So you are Muslim and you don't eat pork. And what is your understanding as to why that is the case?
What I wanted to share was that the reason I don't eat it now is because I'm Muslim, and because, you know, in the meat of pork, you find about 6 to 7 different creatures that could lay their eggs in the meat of pork.
Mm-hmm.
But when I grew up in our household, my mom, we grew up Christian, would never cook pork, never.
Mm.
Reason being, she grew up on my grandpa's farm in Goldsburg. She would relate this to us that in the morning, when they would come and fetch mostly the adult pigs to take them to the market for slaughtering, you would hear those little ones. The sound they make is that of newborn babies.
Mm-hmm.
They would cry. You know, she would say it was heart-wrenching the way they would cry for their mom.
Mm.
And the sound of that little one, that is what just put her off of never, ever eating their meat.
I'm just curious, Rueden, what you were saying about the different things that can lay their eggs in pork. Is that related to if a person is not cooking it properly, or just the fact that other things can lay their eggs in pork is already the put off altogether?
It's actually both. The fact that when you, I believe, just buy the meat, first of all, you have to cook it thoroughly.
Mm.
Now, I do think some people, I'm not sure, but I'm like beef would have it undone, half raw, whatnot.
Yeah. I've never heard of having a medium rare pork chop, but I think I get the point that you are making. Dr. Lerato, there's a quick question here that says on the WhatsApp line, pork is associated with evil spirits. Is that the case in any of the religious studies that you've done? And maybe you may have heard of this also in any African spiritual beliefs.
No, generally, yes, there is a prejudice against pork and a superstitious attitude towards pigs that we find when we look at the spiritual foundations of these Abrahamic religions specifically, and even when you look into African traditional religions. There is that attitude that exists, and I think it's premised primarily when you look at the Abrahamic religions on the casting out of demons. You know, people will cite all of these verses. But I think, theoretically, it is just an attitude that exists because it was there to serve a certain function. It does exist.
And then let's quickly go to Simon in Santon. Hi, Simon. You don't eat pork?
Yeah, I do not eat pork for religious purposes, or rather, I should say, because... the specific church that I go to disallows for one to eat or indulge in pork products. It is also written in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 14, that scripture defines the kind of food that,
Deuteronomy 14:5-8, you may eat any animal. That is a divided hoof.
That does this and that the other. But it goes further to say, although a pig is a particular way, you shall not eat it as well. But I think also if we look at Leviticus 13, it also defines some of the other foodstuff that as Christians or those that follow the religion would not be allowed to eat.
So, Simon, let me ask you this question. If there is a scenario where we're talking life and death, starvation, will you touch the pork? Or do you believe so strongly that you would not touch it, even if it's a life and death starvation situation?
I'm a Christian, but I'm not that strong. Maybe my faith is not that strong.
No,
but,
look, I love your honesty. I love your honesty because that's the reality. Yeah.
I think I have touched a pork product after being baptized. But to be quite honest, growing up we used to have a call for pigs. And I can remember specifically that by around 1986 we slaughtered and then we ate it and then all is fine. But by the time that you actually got baptized and then the scripture is shared with us that we shouldn't be eating, then we stopped eating it deliberately. But I think if it's a life and death situation, my attitude changes.
You're gonna enjoy the pork belly and the bacon, doctor. There's so many questions messages coming through. One person saying pigs are dirty, they're not clean, they eat anything, including themselves. Others are saying, another person saying, Ridi Klabi once had an ENT specialist who spoke about pork containing certain bacteria that creates allergies and tonsil issues. Another one says the inside of a pig is similar to that of a human. Another one saying, as someone who rescues and looks after pigs and runs a pig sanctuary with over 300 pigs, I can tell you that pigs are extremely clean animals by nature. They never do their ablution anywhere near where they sleep. They go in the same place every time. And the messages continue and continue, including an atheist who is referencing the Bible when it comes to pork. Doctor, in closing, you know, what is the conclusion with regards to pork? Because I'm hearing you say, look, it got a bad reputation based off of this, but it is continuing. Do you possibly see this evolving?
Well, that's one stubborn idea. I can tell you, for someone who teaches the Bible, a lot of people are unwavering in that one. But I think, and I don't know if there is even a intention to want to revolutionize that thought around the consumption of pork. But I'm saying for in the name of you know, eco-economical issues, then, you know, you can decide for yourself if you want to consume pork or not. But also dietary laws, you must always remember dietary laws were just, they're chiefly put in place for health reasons. So if there's scientific evidence that proves that it is an irritant or, you know, in your tonsils or so forth, then avoid it if you can. But if it's substantiated by an idea that fizzled in the 1800s, then you can decide that for yourself.
Doctor, we're going to have to leave it there. And I will quote the WhatsApp line to end this conversation that says, yo, all of the people saying pigs are disgusting, they're not clean, more pork for me.